Now look with me at the passage that Brother Randy just read. I've entitled the message is this, Have You Seen the Lord's Christ? The title Christ means Messiah. Have I seen the Lord's Christ? Have you seen the Lord's Christ? That's what I want us to think about today. And this passage, this is one of my favorite passages. This is a miracle of God's grace. And every time I read it, I get chills thinking about it. Revolving around the birth of Christ. It's not normally one that is read or studied at this time of year when people celebrate the birth of Christ, because this actually took place around 40 days after his birth. Verse 21 talks about how he was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law, and then how Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple, and Mary for her purification that was under the Jewish law, the Mosaic covenant, that she would be accomplished. And so it was about 40 days afterward. But it is about the birth of Christ because it's talking about why Christ came into this world, why he came into this sin-cursed world. And, you know, normally when we come to this time of year, preachers are preaching on the shepherds who got a vision from the Lord and went to the manger. And they talk about the wise men. I hate to bust the bubble of all these nativity scenes around here, but there were no wise men there right at his birth. They didn't come until about 2 years later. Well, I actually don't hate to bust that bubble. But, it's just not, people just don't read the scriptures or write. The wise men came, but it's probably about 2 years later. But either way, it's still revolving around the birth of Christ, the King of Kings. This passage here speaks of a man named Simeon, an old man who was in the temple there in Jerusalem. And it speaks of his revelation that God gave him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die, he would not leave this world until he actually saw with his physical eyes that physical child, Jesus, meaning he shall save his people from their sins. And that's a miracle in and of itself. But the greatest miracle of all that revolves around Simeon is that he really saw Christ before then with the eye of faith. And that's the way we see him, if we see him at all, in the way of salvation, with the eye of faith. But let me begin. First of all, as I ask that question, why did Jesus Christ, the Bible says a child was born, and all that revolved around that miraculous birth, a son was given, that's the incarnation we call it, the incarnation of Christ, the union of the two natures, his holy, sinless humanity created for him in the womb of a virgin, by the Holy Spirit, and then his absolute deity. See, he didn't bring that humanity with him when he came to earth. He came in his deity and he united himself. And what a thought. I mean, that is something that is just totally mind-boggling. That God the Son, the eternal Son, cloaked himself in human flesh in the womb of a virgin. In that tiny, tiny thing. And that he was born and that he grew in wisdom. All of those things are just marvelous things to consider. And really, we cannot explain those things in a physical way. We know it's so. Unto us, a child is born. But unto us, a son is not born. He's given. Now, why did all that happen? Well, here in the first verses of this portion, verse 22, it says, when the days of her purification, as I said, verse 21, Christ was brought to be circumcised, all according to the law. Mary came to be purified, the way that the women were purified after they had a child, according to the law. They brought him to Jerusalem. Verse 23, listen, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy. He had to be dedicated. That's what that means. He had to be dedicated to the Lord according to the law of the Lord. And it says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. See how the law comes forth here? It's mentioned a pair of young turtle doves or two young pigeons. The bloodshed, all of that. So it's all according to the law. Why did Christ come into the world? Well, Galatians chapter 4 tells us this. This is verse 4. That in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. Now, what is that, the fullness of the time? That means that before the foundation of the world, God set forth a time that this event would happen here on earth. It was God's time. It wasn't man's time. God wasn't up there waiting for men to do something in order for the time to come. This was established before the foundation of the world by God in his sovereign authority. And in the fullness of that time, when that time came, God sent forth his Son. The next thing it says here about his Son in Galatians 4 is that God sent forth his Son made of a woman. It doesn't say made of a man. Made of a woman. And of course we know that woman was Mary. Christ was prophesied back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 to be the seed of woman. His birth was a miracle birth. He wasn't made by the aid of man. Now, he came through the lineage of men, but he came by miraculous birth through Mary, conceived in her womb by the Spirit. He's the seed of woman. So God sent forth his Son made of a woman. That's his humanity. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was not born and he was not made. He always has been and always will be. But in his humanity and that union that took place, his humanity had a beginning. I don't believe it was December 25th, but now whatever you want to believe about that, you can. Doesn't matter. I know it was the fullness of the time. Whatever time that was, that's when he came. Most scholars, I think, believe it was in spring. So. But it doesn't matter. He came. And we who know him, we who have seen the Lord Christ, we're glad of it. So he was made of a woman. Now the next line says this in Galatians 4. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Think about it. He's the one who wrote the law. And now he's made under the law. Now what does that mean? That means he's subject to the law that he made. Well, why would he do that? Well, the next line tells us, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He did it for the redemption of his people. Now, what did he have to do? He had to keep the law. Had to keep it. When we read over in Isaiah chapter 9 there, that he would come and he would establish the throne of David with judgment and justice. That's keeping the law. What did he have to do? He had to redeem them by the paying the redemption price, and the redemption price was his blood, his death. When was that established? Back in Genesis chapter 3, when he was prophesied as the seed of woman. And God, you remember Adam and Eve, when they realized their nakedness, their lack of righteousness, they sewed fig leaves, aprons together to hide their nakedness. God took those fig leaf aprons off and destroyed them, and he shed blood. He slew an animal and made coats of skin. Remember why he had to do that? Death, blood, what is all this about? He told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, in the day that you disobey, in the day that you eat of that tree that you're forbidden to eat, thou shalt surely, what? Die. Have you ever quoted Romans 6:23? Most people have. Huh? What's it say? The wages of sin is death. That's right. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And how did he bring about that life? Through the redemption that he would accomplish as God-man. And that's why he had to do all of this, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, when he came on his public ministry, when he first began his public ministry, he came to John the Baptist. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 3. And he come up on John, and he said, John, baptize me. John said, I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy. He said, you need to baptize me. And Christ said this. This is Matthew 3 and verse 15. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Allow it to be so. For thus it becometh us. And I believe he's speaking of himself in the Trinity of his persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered. And then John baptized him. What does all that mean? Well, that baptism was water baptism, where he was immersed in water. It all pictured his death, his burial, and then he came up out of that water, his resurrection. And what does his death, burial, and resurrection mean? It means he paid the redemption price. He kept the law perfectly. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He purged our sins by one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he established a righteousness whereby God could justify sinners like us. That's why all that happened. Now go back down here in Luke 2. Who is this Simeon? We'll look at it in verse 25. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Well, here's what we know about him. He's a Jew. He's a Jerusalem. One of the first, when I first came into the knowledge of the truth, one of the first little pamphlets I got was a treatise written by old John Bunyan. You know who John Bunyan was? He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. And the name of that pamphlet was The Jerusalem Sinner Saved. The Jerusalem Sinner. And why would Bunyan call it that? Bunyan referred to himself as the Jerusalem Sinner. What he's talking about is a religious person who is lost in false religion, and God saves him. Well, here's a Jerusalem sinner named Simeon. And he says the same man, look at verse 25. It gives us two thoughts about him. He was just and devout. Now, a lot of preachers who get this passage here, they say, well, that means he was a guy who was kind and moral, did right by men and all of that, and he was sincere. It means more than that, my friends. What is it to be just? The word justice, just, judgment, is the same word in the New Testament as right, righteous, and righteousness. And what is it? What's it saying here? It's saying Simeon, the same man, he was righteous. He was right with God. How does a sinner become right with God? Only by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. That's the only way a sinner can be right with God. You can't be right. You can determine in your mind right now that you're going to try to be the best person you can be. You're going to try to keep the law. That will not make you right with God. Now, it may make you right with men, but not with God. The question, how can a man, a sinner, a woman, a sinner, be right with God? Two things has to happen. First of all, you have to be forgiven of all your sins. Past sins, present sins, original sin, future sins. You have to be forgiven of all your sins, but on a just ground. And there's only one just ground, and that's the righteousness, the blood of Jesus Christ. Your decision will not wash away your sins. Your confession will not wash away your sins. Only Christ can do that. That's why he came, to redeem them that were under the law. You have to be forgiven on a just ground. And you have to be declared by God, not by men and women now, not by the preacher, not by the church, not by mom and dad, but you have to be declared by God to be righteous in his sight. And always remember this, God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. We can put on a pretty good show outwardly towards men, but we can't hide from God. We're sinners. So how can God declare me righteous? Only as I stand before him, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness imputed to me. And that's what Simeon was. You say, well, it doesn't say all that there. It does in other places of the Bible, and the Bible doesn't contradict itself. David said it, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's just. As a sinner saved by grace. That's what Simeon was. And what does it mean to be devout? It means to be devoted to God, believing God. He was a man of faith. He had God-given, Holy Spirit-wrought faith. This man, Simeon. Now, how do you know that? Well, look at the next line, verse 25. He was waiting for something. Now, that word waiting is not like waiting in a waiting room, as we would say it, impatiently. It has to do with faith that God is going to do what he said he would do. And what was Simeon waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's the comfort, the peace, the consoling, the comforting, the peace, the assurance that only Israel could have. And let me tell you something. There's two things about this. Number one, who is the consolation of Israel? Christ is. He talked about himself, about being the consolation. He said, in prophecy, he's coming to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to bring consolation to those who are troubled. Only Christ. He is the consolation of Israel. That's what he says here. And God, through the Holy Spirit, told this Simeon, you're not going to die until you see that consolation, until you see Christ, until you see the Messiah. Now, it's not necessary to see Christ or the Messiah in the flesh. Simeon already saw him with the eye of faith. If you look over at verse 38, talking about Anna, the prophetess, the older woman, look at verse 38. It says, and she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. This is the same time Simeon saw the Christ child. And she spoke of him to all that looked for redemption. That word look there is the same word waiting over here in verse 25. Looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What does the Bible say? Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, there's none else. Who is he? He's a just God and a Savior. This is the eye of faith. And the second thing back here in verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel, he's not talking about the physical nation Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel. Somebody said, well, what is that? That's a spiritual nation made up of sinners saved by grace who are justified in God's sight based upon his righteousness charged to them and who have been born again by the Spirit, brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's spiritual Israel. Are you a believer like Simeon? Have you seen the Lord Christ? Have you seen that salvation, the consolation of Israel? If you have, you are a citizen of a spiritual nation, Israel. Well, how do you know it wasn't physical Israel? Because he wasn't a comfort to the physical nation, just a few in that nation. Over in John chapter 1, it says, in verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as have received him, to them gave he the power, the right to become the sons of God. All who have believed on his name, which were born not of blood, that is physical descendancy, not of the will of the flesh, that is the works of the flesh, they weren't born again by works, nor the will of the flesh. They weren't born again because they made a decision, but they were born of God. That's who he's talking about. Comfort ye my people, Isaiah said. Speak to the people and tell them the Lord hath given them double for all of their iniquities. What does that mean? That means Christ is coming to take away your sins and give you in return his righteousness. Comfort you. That's what Simeon wanted to see. And then it says in verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, dwells within every true believer. Guides every true believer. But here it's talking about in a special way. And it says it here, verse 26, it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Have we seen the Lord Christ? Have we seen the glory of the person of Christ, the power of his finished work? Have we seen him as the Lord, our righteousness? Now you understand now, Simeon, I opened up the paper today and they had one of those pictures in the middle. They call it pictures of Jesus. It's not pictures of Jesus. Nobody knows what he looked like. I'm not talking about, did you see that this morning? A lot of people see that and they don't see this Christ. And you understand now, Simeon, what he's going to see is a baby. But this is what the Lord told him. You're not going to see death. You're not going to die. You're not going to step out of this world until you've seen the Lord Christ. And let me tell you, that's the way it is with all of God's elect. You're not going to step out of this world until you've seen the Lord Christ with the eye of God-given faith. Submitting to him. Believing in him. Verse 27 says, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, a baby, to do for him after the custom of the law. He was made under the law. He kept the law. Look at this. This is amazing. Verse 28. Then Simeon took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He praised God. He worshiped God. And he said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace. Let me die. Let me out of this sin-cursed world. Let me out of this body of this death. According to thy word, according to what you promised, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I like the way that's put. Now, Simeon was saved by the grace of God. He could have just as well said, I have seen, mine eyes have seen my salvation. But he said it this way, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What's he talking about? He's talking about the salvation that only God can give. The salvation that only God can accomplish. The salvation of which God is the source, the originator, the sustainer, and the completer. This is God's salvation. Have you seen his salvation? If you have, you've seen his Christ. And he says in verse 31, now listen to this. This would go against popular Jewish thought in that day. These next two verses. He says, God's salvation, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. What that means is that God did it publicly. This was no secret. This was no hoax. This was put on display for all the world to see, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and then the suffering and the dying of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ. It's all out there. Now, people deny it. People today say it was a hoax. It wasn't a hoax. There were eyewitnesses to all of this, and they recorded it. And it was put on public display before the eyes of all people. And you could have been there and seen it all physically and not seen the Lord Christ. Most of the Jews were. Many Gentiles, Romans. They were there and they saw it physically. They saw him walk this earth. They saw him carrying that cross. And you remember when the women were crying because they felt sorry for him? You remember what he did? He turned to them and he said, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. I'm not in trouble. I'm doing what I came to do. That's what he was saying. This is what I came to do, he told his disciples. Even they tried to prevent him from going to Jerusalem, remember? He said, "What? Are you kidding? This is what I came to do. I'm going to victory." He knew that. Oh, he suffered now. It wasn't no cakewalk. He suffered and he bled and he died. He felt all the infirmities and the sorrows and the burdens of the flesh. But it was all for his people. He was bruised for our iniquities. That means he was crushed for our iniquities. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew grief. He knew no sin, but he knew grief. He knew the results, the consequences. And then he says in verse 32, now here's what would get the unbelieving Jews. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What? Gentiles? You're including Gentiles in on this? No, they got to become Jews first. They got to be circumcised. They got to keep the law. Oh no. God has a people whom he chose before the foundation of the world, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, he gave them to Christ. This is quoted from the book of Isaiah. And it's talking about spiritual Israel. We look at verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. He recognized that Joseph and Mary were blessed of God. Especially Mary, to have this child. He didn't worship Mary. He didn't pray to Mary. But he recognized she's a blessed woman. And he said, "Behold, this child is set." Look at this in verse 34. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." This very child is going to be that which divides many in Israel. Some will believe, some will reject. He'll be a stumbling block to many. What did Paul write in Romans chapter 9? That Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, did not attain it because they sought it by works and not by faith in Christ. And when Christ came and spoke to them, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They fell. What did John say in John 3? That this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness and hate the light because their deeds were evil. What did Christ say to the religious majority of his day? He said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, how righteous do we have to be? As righteous as this one who was made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law. Acts 17:31, God's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that God-man, whom he hath appointed, in that he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. It's Christ. You see, without Christ, there is no righteousness for us. Without Christ, there is no forgiveness for us. Without Christ, there's no spiritual and eternal life for us. Without Christ, there is no heaven. Today in our world, everybody that dies goes to heaven. Isn't that right? I mean, if you read the paper, I don't care who they are, what they believed, what they said, what they did. Everybody. Well, my friend, without Christ, without his blood to wash away my sins, his righteousness to justify me, there is no heaven. There's only eternal damnation. So he's set for the rise and the fall of many, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What think ye of Christ? You want to know your state before God? What think ye of Christ? And then he talks about Anna, the prophetess there, but she was a believer too. She looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. She looked for Christ. She waited for the consolation of Israel too. And what a great testimony. Have I seen the Lord Christ? Have you seen the Lord's Christ? I pray that we have, by God's grace. All right.